Hello and welcome to the Yard Pro Show, Christmas edition, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts today, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
And Scott, what a delight, a little bare naked ladies first thing in the morning.
We cut that last night.
Yes, we did. We did a great job with
didn't we?
You know,
we did
hey,
on tour.
Yeah, what a great song. You know, good job. Kudos to Angela this morning.
That was good.
I asked for a little Christmas music last week. I received it this week. Thank you for my Christmas gift, Angela. And it's one of my favorites, believe it or not. That is a great album, by the way, if you don't have it. It's on Amazon Prime for all you Prime listeners. You can download it. You can listen to it. You can stream it live. You know, I'm getting used to all that stuff. That Prime music, man, that's pretty cool. But I'm telling you, that's a great album and what a great song. A little bit of God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. So Merry Christmas, Scott.
Merry Christmas.
Here we are. We have made it. Almost.
Almost.
Almost to Christmas Day. It is the fourth weekend of Advent, you know? So welcome to the Yard Pro Show, folks. It's time to celebrate. It's time to reflect. It's time to have fun. And it's time to think about all those things in your garden and your landscape. Now, wow, we had a nice moment. Now, the reality sets in. Family's coming over. Yard's a mess if it's like mine because it's done nothing but rain. Correct?
Correct.
So it's time to get it ready. It's time to think about what you're doing in the landscape. And we would love to have you interact, to call us, to take yourself from the position of a listener and become a participant today on the Yard Pro Show. It's very simple. You can give us a call at 1-800-347-1063. That's 800-347-1063. And as always, you can text us at 71307. Whether you're in the Lowcountry in Charleston, in the Midlands around Columbia, or in the upstate of South Carolina, Greenville-Spartanburg area, we would love to talk to you. If nothing else, you can just shout out, give us a call, and tell us about your Christmas traditions. How about that? You want to open that up?
That'll work.
What are your Christmas traditions?
Whatever my daughter says.
Whatever your daughter says.
ever since she was little, we've always done the exact same routine.
Yeah, it's the same with our three kids.
Yeah.
It's like,
I love it.
Whatever the kids want to do. It's like the Christmas tree, you know? Chrismon tree. Right?
Yes.
Mm.
So what'd you come up with today?
So speaking of which, you know, we talked a little bit about the Christmas tree.
Well, we've done that. We've put poinsettias.
And we talked a little bit about the care of the Christmas tree. Here is your weekly reminder. Please water your Christmas tree if you have a live tree. Now, if you have one of those artificial trees, that's fine.
Please don't water it.
I have three of those in the house. But do not put water at the base of the artificial tree. It doesn't need it. And a lot of those artificial trees, the center stem of that is actually steel. And it will rust, okay? So no water for the artificial tree. But if you have a live tree, please don't forget to water your tree. I know you only have, what, three more days? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Three more days. But then you got to carry it for you at least a day until you can
undecorate. When do you take yours down? After January 1st?
No, I'll probably take it down around January 1st. I may do it New Year's Eve. I'm not real sure. Just depends when the mood strikes me.
That's the main thing.
You know when it comes down? When the wife and kids undecorate it. You know, I take it inside. I set it up. I put lights on it. I give it its first watering. I lay on the ground, and I fuss at my wife, bless her heart, because it never fails. You know, you lay on the ground. You try to adjust it, get it perfectly straight, plumb, level, every direction. And you stand up, you look at it, and you're like, well, it's 2 inches off center. So then you're back on the ground. It's up and down, up and down. So by the time I get done with getting it straightened, plumbed, and level, I put the lights on it. I spend like 4 hours trying to figure out where the burned-out bulb is. You know, you get the lights on it, and by that point, I'm just like, you know, I think maybe you need to trim the tree. So whenever they get it taken care of, I'll take care of it. So, yeah, we talked about the Christmas tree. On the Chrismon tree and the legend and the history behind it. We talked a little bit about the poinsettia last week and its ties to South Carolina, specifically, well, upstate South Carolina and Charleston, because as we found out, Joel Poinsett actually lived in that Charleston area, but he had a summer home or a plantation in Greenville so they call. I don't remember or don't know of any like plantations in Greenville. I think it was a farm, and it was a working farm apparently. So this week, I don't know. We'll see what we come up with. I probably have a few things, don't you think? But before we get there, Scott, let's talk about the pertinent thing, which is the weather. I have you a Christmas gift, by the way. It is time for our weekly drought update. There it is. That's the drum roll. Scott, you are the proud bearer. It's a little bit larger this week.
Oh,
it's not wrinkled. You have a map of the state of South Carolina, black lines denoting all the counties within the state of South Carolina, and it's completely white. The reason being, we are 0% drought, 100% drought-free 2 weeks in a row. So there you go. Merry Christmas.
I get the color.
I didn't bring you crayons. I apologize, but maybe you can take it home. And I expect to see it back next week, all colored in nice and pretty by county. Okay? Color your favorite county. Let's go your favorite county. Color it orange.
Colleton.
Wow. So, folks, the weather, it has been wet. It's been a little bit mild, in my opinion, Scott. What say you?
Yes.
Yeah, this past week. But it has been wet, almost excessively too wet in some folks. Hopefully the rivers will reside a bit, you know, we need them. They're full. What can you say? I mean, it's like you, I hate to use this analogy, but it's like you spit and the rivers flood, right? So we need it to dry out a little bit. It's a little bit excessively wet now. I mean, I don't want to complain, but it is. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. So, and coming again right after Christmas.
Right after Christmas. Now, the good thing is the rain that's coming right after Christmas, at least for the upstate, it looks like 40, 50, 60% chance at the most those days of showers. So hopefully it won't be the deluge of rain that we have experienced because, boy, we got some rain all across the great state of South Carolina. You know, it looks like the temperatures are going to be mild, at least for the extended forecast I saw. However, I read something last night that they are predicting a abnormally cool below average January, even colder below average February, and a below or right at average March. So if we continue getting the rain, the moisture, and we're having below average temperatures after the first of the year, might get some more of that white stuff. What do you say?
No, I'm done with it.
Oh, I like snow days.
No.
I like snow days. They're nice. Mm-hmm. They're really nice. So, Scott, we have Lucy on hold. Lucy has decided to take it from the realm of listener to become a participant today. Hello and Merry Christmas, Lucy.
Merry Christmas, you guys, and just incredible year with all of you. My yard looks magnificent thanks to my yard man and all my good instructions that you have given me. Now I'm giving him fair warning that all the shrubbery in the front that has been slowly dying off has reached its peak, and we're going to replace them. So what I need to know first is what's the best time to replace them? What do you, we've already figured out what we want to put in there, thanks to y'all. But what do I do to properly repair and replace, and prep that area for the new shrubbery?
Scott, what's your thoughts?
I would almost say wait just a little bit till it dries out a little bit, because, I mean, you're going to create a big mess right now. But the good thing about it is...
No, I'm talking about the first of the year, come January, February.
Yeah, I think I would get in there, you know, right after the holiday season. Things begin to slow down a bit. You know, we catch some really pretty days here and there. I think I'd get out. I would start removing some old shrubbery. And I would look, even if you take it to a clean slate and you have to look at it for a month or a month and a half, Lucy, you know, it gives you time to get everything out. I would, if you have the capability, I would go in and either double dig if it's a small area or take a tiller and till it fairly deep, those shrub beds. And that way, because I know over the years you've been mulching, and I'm certain that you have some layering of soil where you have a really high organic content, maybe in the top 2, 3, 4 inches of soil profile, and then you're back to native clay or red clay underneath. What would be nice is if you can incorporate some of that really rich organic matter into that soil profile as deeply as possible, And then it gives you an opportunity also to kind of reshape and as to use a golf course terminology, refloat. Basically, you want to go out, re-smooth everything in the shrub bed. And when we say float, that's actually smoothing it out, allowing the rain to rain on it or water it with a sprinkler and see, you know, do I have low areas, places that are going to hold excessive moisture, things of that nature.
Like a settling time.
Yeah. And I would give myself ample time. Not only that, you know, I always talk about it, Lucy. Winter's a great time to plan. It sounds like y'all have made a really good plan, but at the same token, if you have a clean slate around the foundation of your house and you look at it, even though it may look at first like it's barren for the first week, 2 weeks, it'll give you time to think about and rethink about where are we going to plant shrubbery and what do we want out of this landscape. And I have a feeling if you look at it as kind of a bare slate for a while, you're probably going to go back in with a little bit on the more simple side and not necessarily understated, I had to use that term, but and not plain, but just kind of simple yet elegant selection of plants that have room to grow so that you're not continually out there trying to prune things during the growing season. As far as planting, Scott, I think, they are calling for abnormally cold February. It's kind of a long-range prediction. I would probably wait and see what February brings, but by 1st of March, I think you'll be clear to go in there and plant some shrubs.
And the good thing about this soil being saturated, those plants are going to easily come out.
Yeah. Yeah, if you start digging on plants right now, now's a good time because you got plenty of moisture in the soil.
I did mine 2 months ago, ripped them out, and I still haven't replaced them just because I like looking back, seeing, one, I don't have to do anything in there. Two, I really still don't know what I want to do.
So apparently Scott is a big fan of mulch and non-selective herbicide.
I'm thinking like a rock
garden. There you go. Well, when you talk about the mulch, and we have all through the years used pine straw because my husband loves it, and we get the extra, the long ones
needle.
Out of, yeah. And somebody told me in my flower bed to pull that mulch off and then till my soil and put in the compost and all. But can I leave all of that's been there through the years and just, like you say, deep till that?
Yeah, I think that's fine. Now, one thing with pine straw, and I've never really, researched it. The old tale is, and in theory, I could see how it would happen. The pine needles themselves have a tendency to be more on the acidic side. So as they decompose, it can, you're going to find the soils may be a little more acidic. But, hey, my thoughts are if you rip this stuff out in January so you start the year fresh and new and you're not in a rush to put the shrubs and flowers back in, till it and then take a soil sample, send it off, let's test it, because then we can amend, that particular shrub bed with lime if need be to adjust the pH. So, let's not forget a free soil test. I mean, you talking about the mulch kind of brought that up, and I didn't mention it earlier. But, let's take soil samples of the shrub beds. And if you've got one, Lucy, and this pertains to a lawn, to shrub beds, to anything within your landscape, if the front yard seems to stay sunnier than the backyard, which has a lot of shade, chances are you're probably going to see a little bit of difference in the soil profile and the pH within those two lawns. It's not because sunlight hits it. It's because it's a different environment. So you can see. So if you're in that situation, and if you're doing the backyard as well or the side yard, we don't limit you on how many free soil tests you can get in a year. So take advantage of it. Test the front shrub bed separate from the back and from the sides of the houses. Just label them appropriately. But I don't know if I would, Scott. I mean, I think you just tell that it's decomposed organic matter at this point. Lucy, let's take advantage of it. Because
I am in no hurry to, I want to get it done, but I want to do it the proper way and the healthiest way so that what we do put in is going to thrive.
Yeah.
And everything y'all have told us through the years and listening to you, has always worked perfectly. And I will tell you that because of the Christmas season and I had to add another strand of lights to that little Japanese maple that he planted.
Good.
It's been 2 years now, coming up on 2 years. So we've done everything you told us in taking care of that, and it's growing and looking great. So it's a highlight of our front yard Christmas decorations. So. Well,
most excellent. I'm glad to hear that. And take your time with this. Enjoy it. You know, savor the gardening, because it is it's a fun hobby. It's relaxing. And take your time. And I can't stress that enough. Pull the shrubbery out, you know, and explain to your husband, you know, honey, I'm sorry you're going to have to work hard right at the first of the year, but I'll let you work hard one weekend, get everything pulled out. The next weekend we'll till it, and then I'll give you some reprieve for a few weeks before I expect you to plant shrubbery. See, I'm helping him out, too.
Well, whenever I tell him, the instructions are coming directly from y'all and not, I'm just the messenger. He seems to accept it a little bit more willingly.
Great. You know, so your husband's not a real big fan of the Yard Pros at this point.
I was thinking the same thing.
No, he loves y'all. He just hates that I talk to you one-on-one, and he can't, you know, con me on what really needs to be done.
So, but it sounds like that y'all have a big undertaking comes the first of the year, which, you know, enjoy it. Like I said, take your time,
enjoy it.
Because if you're vested into it, trust me, you will enjoy the landscape for many, many years. Those who get joy out of the gardening aspect of it, they tend to have a really beautiful long term, because they learn so much, one, about how to properly care and maintain what they have, but they also have a sense of pride because they put a lot of sweat equity into it. So,
our curb appeal is thanks to all of y'all, and wishing you and all the WORD family and staff and everybody a blessed and merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
The same goes.
The
same to you.
Same goes to you, Lucy.
Have a good one.
You too. Merry Christmas. Scott, what a great call. And, you know, I always say it. I mean, we really don't pay folks to do this. But, I mean, what a great lead-in, because you're going into winter, right? Mm-hmm. You're right here at Christmas. And everybody, with the commercialization and whatnot, everybody's running around frantically. I can only imagine what the busy areas of every major community that we broadcast into is going to be like by 10 o'clock today. As far as traffic, you know, certainly not going to be fun, because everybody's in this hustle and bustle. And it's good to know that the enjoyment of gardening and landscaping lives and thrives in a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Slow down, enjoy it. You know what they say, take time to smell the roses, right?
See?
And see, in Lucy's standpoint, plan it out ahead of time. Winter's a great time to plan. Winter's a great time to do some work in the lawn and in the landscape, okay? Now, we're not doing things that are necessarily horticulturally related to growing necessarily. We're not pushing hard with fertilizer. We're not enjoying a whole lot of blooms. However, there are a few things. We'll probably get to some more horticultural plants and how they relate to Christmas shortly, because that seems to be a theme this month, right? But nonetheless, there are things you need to do now. Like pruning of shrubs. You know, when I saw that call come in from Lucy, it just said shrubs. And I'm sitting here, okay, they want to talk about pruning shrubs, because we get a lot of calls about that. You know, winter's a great time to prune shrubs. I don't think I would go out and hack up my bushes today. For all you gentlemen out there listening, wife might not be too happy come Christmas morning when the family arrives and you got freshly hacked bushes, right? But right after the first of the year, people seem to have some time off. It's a good time to get out and work in the landscape. Pull those shrubs out, as we told Lucy. And who cares if it's just kind of a bare, you know, back to bare bones, this landscaped or unlandscaped area. She uses pine straw. Spread a little bit of pine straw on top just to cover up the soil, correct?
Mm-hmm.
While you're waiting until you want to plant the plants. My concern with planting plants with this extended, you know, looking into the future and the projections, that it looks like January and February are going to be below normal temperatures. We certainly don't want to go out and plant new shrubs when it's going to be in the teens. I wouldn't. Would you?
No.
Yeah, I would try to avoid that. So you know, I think I would wait. In her situation, she's willing to wait. I think I'd get everything cleaned up, work a little bit on the grade around the foundation of the house. Because a lot of times over the years, you know, you figure a landscape typically is 15, 20, 25 years old. All this mulch, no erosion, you're elevating the shrub bed over time. So now it's above your sidewalk, right? Till it up. Let it settle back down. See if you need to remove some. Reshape it. Regrade it. Get it where you want it. And sometimes that takes time. There's no point in being in a huge hurry. Now I got all the landscape companies out there fussing at me. But, you know, new construction, or when they bring a crew or 10 or 12 in, it's a little different situation. When you're doing it yourself, take your time. Enjoy it. That's why we do it, right?
Yes.
So, Scott?
Yes.
I do have one quick text before we go to that bottom of the hour break. It says, make sure you're not pruning flowering shrubs now. That is correct. So anything flowering now, or anything that flowers early in the spring, late winter, early spring flowering shrubs, azaleas, prime example. Okay, they're going to bloom early. They're not blooming now. Don't prune them now.
They've already set.
Exactly. They've already set those butts, so don't prune them. You have been tuned in to the Yard Pro Show so far today, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I don't think I've said it. You can find us during the week very simple at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. We do have to take that bottom of the hour break, Scott. But when we come back, if we don't get phone calls, even if we do, we're going to talk a little bit about more of these plants that are related to Christmas. You can give us a call during the break at 1-800-347-1063. And as always, you can text us at 71307. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks, to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. Scott?
Yes.
There were two horticulture-related things in that song. What were they?
Really?
Come on, what were they?
Play it again, Angela.
Chestnuts.
Oh, and mistletoe.
And mistletoe. How you like that? See, kudos. Kudos to Angela. Keeping up with the theme. See, she didn't even know it. I just kind of suck you in. You're in the theme, right? Folks, you are tuned into the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. It's a delight to be here for the second half. It is the fourth weekend of Advent. Fourth Sunday of Advent is tomorrow. It is nearly Christmas, and Scott's panicking.
No, I'm not panicking.
Me neither. I've been done shopping for a while. How about you? I wrapped my last gift last night.
See, at least you get to, you're allowed to wrap. I'm not allowed to wrap at my house.
Really?
No. They don't want me wrapping.
Oh, see, I do it up, man.
My wife, she's like a ninja when it comes to that. And then my daughters, they love doing it.
See, I'm the fancy bow guy.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I like the fancy bows. Anything shiny. Glitter.
Glitter.
Glitter. The more glitter, the better.
Angela loves glitter.
She does. She loves glitter. But, you know, I like the fancy bows, man. You know? So, Scott, we could say, now that we have wrapping up almost Christmas, kind of wrapping up a year, too, right? Forget about that. I'm just blessed to be here for a year. It was nice. It's a pretty good year, 18.
It was a good year.
A little rocky start in the landscape. You know, a little shaky. A lot of winter injury, right? You know, I've talked a lot about that throughout the year. And as of right now, even though they're predicting, you know, some cold temperatures to come, January and February, all across the listening area, as of right now, I feel like we're in pretty good shape. I know it's excessively wet, but that's the big difference between 2018 and 2017. Fall and through first of the year of 18 was extremely dry, And the majority, I mean, what's it say there on the drought report from your, oh, you don't have your glasses.
Here you go. Let me hand that to you.
Oh, man, I know what I'm getting you for Christmas. Let's take your coloring sheet back and give you a pair of glasses. How about that? I actually tried some on the other day.
Why would you try glasses on?
Reading glasses.
Why would you try reading glasses?
Because I had a birthday Monday.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was 39 for the 6 year in a row.
Right.
For the 6 year in a row, I was 39, man. It was great. Nothing like 39. Just stuck on that year, right?
I'm 21.
Are you?
Yeah.
Wow. How long have you been 21?
I guess nowadays, I mean, you can change anything, so I'm changing my age.
Yeah. You've been 21 for a long time. Yeah. Just stuck there. Started a calendar year in 18. 70. No, excuse me. Yeah. 73%, nearly 73% of the state was in drought this time last year.
I don't think the rain really finally started this past, well, 2018 was February when it started coming.
February, March.
Yeah.
March was really wet, really cold. And so I feel like a lot of this winter injury that we experienced this past spring in 18, a lot of it was probably desiccation because we were sowed plants just, you know, whether it was a lawn, whether it was a shrub, whether it was a tree. It was under so much pressure, and it was under so much stress from being under drought for such an extended period, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it just wasn't healthy. And then we had cold temperatures come in. You know, it's just you're just creating a mess. But luckily this year, right now, I feel much better. What are you trying to read?
I was seeing if it had like a 2 year average on there.
I don't think it does mm-hmm. it? So, Scott, it's been a great year, right?
It has.
And you were talking earlier about Christmas traditions. You said your daughter kind of sets those up. It's all about family for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have some Christmas traditions. So we'll be traveling to the great metropolitan of Clinton, South Carolina, come Monday.
You better leave early.
Yeah.
To get there.
Yeah, come Monday. That's our Christmas Eve tradition, you know, go spend it with my family, mom and dad. Used to be my grandmother every Christmas Eve. And then come home and chill out for a few hours and then hit that 11 o'clock candlelight service. It is so peaceful when you walk out of the chapel at midnight. It's just a sense of peace in the winter at midnight, right? Just a sense of peace. You know, it reminds me of something, a little horticultural relation back to Christmas reminds me of something. My favorite Christmas hymn, you know what it is?
What?
Lo, how rose. Lo, how rose air blooming. Sing it a lot. First verse. Lo, how a rose air blooming from tender stem hath sprung, of Jesse's lineage coming, as those of old have sung. It came, a floweret bright, amid the cold of winter, when half spent was the night.
Now sing it.
No. So, you know, here we have a little bit of relation back to the rose blooming, right? The origin of the rose, there's some legend. You know, with everything, there's a legend, right? So some of the speculation, it's not always 100% accurate because it is a legend, that a monk found a blooming rose while walking in the woods in the winter, a single rose blooming, and then placed it in a vase on an altar to the Virgin Mary. Okay, so it's a 15th century hymn. It's kind of interesting. So we see that reference. Another reference, mistletoe, another plant related to Christmas. We talked about it. It's a parasite. Look up. If you got oak trees, if you're somewhere.
Well, there, you can definitely see them now.
Yeah, it's easy. Now that the leaves have fallen, you can see the mistletoe, right? You know, think about mistletoe. Interesting. We bring a lot of plants indoors, don't we? It's like we're always trying to bring the outdoors indoors. Kind of cool. How about holly?
Yeah.
You know? Holly, you know, that it's kind of interesting with holly. Holly was, I did a little bit of research on that. You know where holly was considered sacred by the ancient Romans? So, and then it was adopted by the Christians as a sign that, you know, the Romans apparently would make wreaths and whatnot of holly. And the early years of the Christians in Rome, they continued to decorate their homes and deck out their homes with holly. And the reason they did it was to avoid detection by the Romans. Right? You know what they say? When in Rome, do as the Romans do. Right? So they were trying to avoid detection. So then naturally what happened is the holly just kind of continued on in tradition within the Christian faith. And now you look, and holly is used a lot to adorn not only your home, but to adorn churches and things of that nature during the Christmas season.
I'm sitting here trying to think, what is that? I can't remember the name of the holly. The old native one that puts off abundance of, is it Jim Dandy?
Well, that wouldn't be a native. That would be.
But
American holly's native, and if you look right now, if you do a little bit of hiking and you walk around the out and about right now, guess what, man? The holly berries are out in full force, man. Bring a little holly inside, right? Bring a little mistletoe in. Now, if you bring the mistletoe inside, be very careful with the berries because they are poisonous. You know, we talked about the poinsettia last week. And yes, I guess you could classify that as poisonous, but man, you'd have to eat a lot. But the mistletoe berries are poisonous, so please keep them away from your small children. And you know, there's commercial production of mistletoe now. I didn't realize this. You could buy mistletoe, like a bundle of mistletoe, live mistletoe.
Really?
Yeah. You can find it in some stores here and there. And if you notice, it normally doesn't have the mistletoe berries on it. They'll attach like some plastic berries to it because they are poisonous. So be aware of that if you bring that inside. How about one? Hey, I've got one. My oldest daughter's boyfriend decided to bring us a flower. Well, brought the wife a flower a couple weeks ago. You know what it was? Christmas cactus.
Ooh.
So that got me interested, you know, because I don't know all this stuff. I have to look it up, do a little digging. I didn't realize this. Where do you think the Christmas cactus is native to? Where would you guess? I would have never guessed this.
Oh, there's no way I would then. New Mexico.
No. It's native to Brazil.
That was close.
Southern Hemisphere in the tropics is where it's native to. It's a tropical plant. And it's not parasitic, yet it grows on other plants. It grows up in the branches of the jungle. Okay? It attaches itself, but it's non-parasitic, so it's not causing harm to the plants. And it grows in Brazil. It's triggered to bloom by short days, kind of like the poinsettia. That's when it blooms. It gets short days. A lot of things in horticulture do that. It's all about, you know, we talk about that during the year. It's kind of interesting that it takes the Christmas season and us talking about some of the well-known plants and things we adorn our homes with and landscapes with at Christmas time to really realize this. But a lot of things are triggered by daylight. The leaves changing colors is triggered by daylight. Grass growing.
I was about to say, all warm season grass this past year.
You know, soil temperature, daylight. It's either one or the other or both is what's going to trigger almost everything horticulturally. It's either length of daylight or soil temperatures or a combination of the two.
And Moneypenny says you can't kill holly. She's tried.
Yes, she's tried to kill holly, and you're right. Holly plants are, well, you know, because there's some native holly plants. And not just one, not just American holly. You know, there's a little Yaupon holly. If you get down around Columbia, they grow everywhere out in the woods in the sand hills. Okay? So that's what's neat about living in South Carolina. Horticulturally, man, we're in a cool place because a lot of things grow here and a lot of things are native here. Nothing grows perfect. Everything has its problem.
And it's neat because you can go 45 minutes, a little bit higher elevation, and see other stuff.
Exactly. Or you can drive 2 hours from where we live in the upstate or 3 hours south. And you can see things you don't see,
mm-hmm.
right? So there are a lot of native plants around. But let's get back to this Christmas cactus because it's kind of cool, you know? Everything has a legend, right? So the legend is there was a young boy who lived in the jungle and had prayed to God to give him a little sign of Christmas in his hot, humid world, okay? He just wanted a little sign that it was Christmas time. So as Christmas approached, he kept praying for this. And on Christmas Day, he woke up and he stepped out. And the jungle, the ceiling of the jungle, looked like it was on fire with all the Christmas cactus in full bloom. It's a perfect story, right? Here's the problem. Where's it native to?
Brazil.
Brazil, which is in the southern hemisphere. Are the days short in December in the southern hemisphere? Everything in the southern hemisphere is exactly opposite.
Opposite of us.
So all you listeners out there, if you decide to move south of the equator, everything we tell you to do in December, you need to do it in May, right?
So you just confused everybody.
That's how the horticultural world works, Scott, right? We know this. So, and actually in Brazil, the Christmas cactus that we now is produced, that everybody grows and enjoys at Christmas time, is, let me see here. What is it called? Flor de Mel, Mayflower, is what they call it in Brazil. It's the common name. Now, isn't that interesting? We call it the Christmas cactus. They call it the Mayflower because in Brazil it blooms in May, which is totally away from when we celebrate Christmas or we go back to Lohau Rose and a cold night, right? But interesting. So one thing, too, that we can bring from this, if we understand the origin of our plants, okay? It's the same thing with our lawns and our landscapes. If we understand the origin of our plants a little bit, we know this plant, the Christmas cactus, is from Brazil, right? But we think about it as, oh, it's blooming in the winter. Well, for us, it kind of naturally might bloom in the winter, but there's a little problem with it. It's from Brazil. It's a tropical plant. It does not like a really cold environment. However, even though it's tropical, it blooms in May when the days are shorter. It's a little bit cooler in Brazil in May than it is this time of the year, supposedly. Don't know. Never been there, right? So when you bring them inside, don't think, hey, it's tropical. Let's put it by the heat vent. Don't do that. It doesn't like a tremendous amount of heat because it's in that stage of blooming. It does need a little bit cooler environment, but at the same token, it has to be inside. Do you know a Christmas cactus, though, there are people that have had them for like 30-plus years? They will just continue to grow and grow and grow.
So how long are you going to keep this one?
I have no idea.
Are you going to take it on?
What?
The baby this nurtures this one.
This particular plant? No, I don't do house plants. Now, I grow a mean lawn of grass because that's what I do for a living. But when it comes to house plants, give me a week, man. They're dead. Sorry. I just don't do houseplants.
I can see you like an orchid guy.
Mm. You know, when I was in college, I played a little bit with some orchids and tried to grow them. Man, those are aggravating.
No thanks.
Everybody said, oh, you can't overwater them. I was like, well, I did it anyway. So then I bought another one and I tried using ice cubes water. I wasn't successful with that either. I just gave up. Man, I'm done with this. Done with the orchids. To never try them again. I don't think I've bought one in 20 years. And no, I'm not going to start now. If it's tropical, if it's supposed to be in the house, guess what? Somebody else can grow it. I'm not. I had irrigation topsoil straw and seed installed last week of November. Okay, I'm looking for the rest of this text, Scott. We're now on the text line. Text line.
So irrigation?
Will any of my seed germinate in the spring, or do I need to start over? You know, we've got milder temperatures, warmer temperatures, looks like for the next 7 to 10 to 15 days, looking at extended forecast, okay? So soil temperatures aren't terribly, terribly cold at this point. As a matter of fact, I probably ought to look them up. What do you say, Scott? Mm-hmm. So what's your thoughts? I mean, would you start over at this point or would you sit?
No, I'd sit, especially a week.
Really? It was done in the last week of November.
Oh, the last week of November.
Yeah. Would you sit and wait? What would you do? I mean, I'd almost sit and wait. You know, I don't know if I'd throw the hat in. Now, I think one thing that would definitely come out of this as a potential negative is you're probably going to see a little bit of erosion concern with all the heavy rains we're getting. That's going to be a concern. You're going to have to look at kind of some barren land for a while. And I think the weed content is probably going to be a little bit higher than normal because normally when we seed, and I can only imagine it's a text question, so we
is
can't.
Is it an irrigation line?
Yeah, he said he had irrigation put in as well, so he's able to irrigate, but or she, whoever.
So some of those trenches are going to settle down.
But my thoughts when it comes back to, you know, should you start over, should you not, I'm almost inclined to say be patient and let's see what let's see what the rest of the winter brings in the early part of spring. And what you may want to do is go in there and add a little bit of seed on top. Because if nothing else, if you had wheat straw put down, that should help a little bit with the erosion and at least help cover the mud, right? But I do think that one thing you may fight a little bit in that situation is perhaps some increased weed activity or weed pressure during the spring of the year, because you just don't have a coverage of stuff or of grass. Scott, you're not doing a real good job of helping me out while I try to pull up the current soil temperature map of kind of filling some time. I'm trying to multitask here. What's on your mind over there? Other than you chuckling at me.
I'm just chuckling. I love watching you multitask.
So the five-day average right now in Greenville, South Carolina, is 47 degrees, Scott, soil temperature, which, yeah, that's cold, but it's still fairly elevated.
Still,
I mean, we're at the end of December. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should be able to, you know, it's going to be very slow germination, but you should see some. Just for kicks and giggles, because I'm kind of interested, you know, I hadn't looked at this in a week or two. The five-day average in Columbia is 50.6, which is nearly 51 degrees, and then it looks like it's even warmer in Charleston. You know, we can look that up. I'm kind of giving away all my
secrets,
but, you know, there's a great 55.2 degree five-day average in Charleston. So, I mean, man, soils are still pretty warm, okay? Soils are warm. We've had adequate moisture. It comes back to why I feel like this winter may not be as harsh as last winter when it comes to horticulture.
Good point, because it goes all the way. That soil temperature in Charleston is all the way up to the Delmarva Peninsula of Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. So, but, yeah, I mean, you know, soil temperatures, if you want this information, I don't mind sharing it, greencastonline.com.
Oh, yeah.
It's for professionals typically, but you can go to their resources page and find a soil temperature map. You can find a pest outlook map. And these are the tools that we actually use. You know, back in the day, it was the telephone that we would use. You know, one of us professionals would call another and say, hey, man, I'm having an issue, and I'm seeing a whole bunch of annual bluegrass germinate right now, and it seems 2 weeks earlier. What about you? Yeah, I'm seeing it too. And that's how we'd figure out what's going on. But now we're using, in essence, these same resources, because when it comes to pest outlook, that's how they're gaining the knowledge, is from their sales reps out in the field and the contacts they have making reports, right? And they're using science as far as is the environment conducive to the rate and development and spread of this disease or this weed, okay? That's how they judge this. But when it comes to soil temperatures, they've got, I guess, they pull climatological data, put it into this program, and they show it to you on a map. It's pretty cool. And you can type in your address, and it'll tell you what it is pretty close to where you live. So the soil temps are still fairly warm. So getting back to this text, you may see a little bit of germination between now and, especially with it drying out a little bit, sunlight next couple of days, even though we're going to get cloudy for a few days and the sunlight again. I know my fescue lawn has really perked up before we had the rain, you know, after the snow, because we had warmer days and sunlight. Probably perk up again the next day or two. Scott, we do have one last text that says, when do I trim azaleas?
Right after they bloom.
Yep. As soon as they finish up their blooms is when you want to prune them, because then you have time to regrow through the summer months, and that's where you're going to set that bud set, correct?
Correct.
So what else is out there horticultural in your landscape you can bring in and decorate and adorn your lawn or your house? You know, I do that.
What do you bring in from your yard?
Well, the first thing I do is I go buy one of those little spindly, ugly Christmas trees that nobody wants to buy that they'll discount somewhere. Okay, so I use a little bit of Fraser fir. Magnolias leaves are gorgeous.
Yeah.
Nandina. I have some old Firepower, the miniature Nandinas.
With the berries on there?
And they don't have berries, but just the red foliage is pretty. But if you have the old school with the berries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Camellias. We'll bring
Camellia,
a few, because they're blooming. Bring a few camellia blooms in. Whatever it is, folks, adorn your house. Bring the outdoors indoors, and we hope you have a very Merry Christmas, right?
A very Merry Christmas.
And do me a favor.
What's that?
Don't forget the real reason for the season, right? Hate to make a rhyme here at the end, but let's not forget the whole reason for the season. Here's from Carolina Fresh Farms, hoping you and your family Have a very Merry Christmas. You've been tuned into the Yard Pro Show today, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. You can find us during the week at carolinafreshfarms.com. There you will find a link to all of our stores, email addresses, all that good stuff, and store hours. As a quick reminder, we will be closed Monday and Tuesday, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and again, Monday and Tuesday, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Folks, we hope you have a great week gardening.